Irene Cook of USAID's Infectious Disease Division for the Global Health Bureau and chair of the Stop TB Partnerships Coordinating Board. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for talking with me.
Last time you and I visited, about a year and a half ago, the global plan to stop TB had just been released. Can you talk about what has worked and what hasn't worked as that plan has been launched?
Sure. What I think the global plan did for TB in general, and certainly for the partnership, is it brought us a great consensus over what needs to be done and sent a very clear message, not only to all of those involved in TB, but also donors, stakeholders, people at the country level and internationally about what needs to be done and what are the resources required. So it is a clear, as we talked about a year and a half ago, it is a clear set of steps that need to happen to really make a difference on TB, on all of the elements of TB, from control now at the country level on multidrug-resistant TB, TB-HIV, as well as on the research set of things, investments that need to happen. So I think bringing everybody together in a consensus and being clear that we do know where we're going and we know what to do has worked really, really well. Now, of course, what we still are struggling with a year into the plan is making sure the resource needs that were outlined behind the global plan are there, and I think we're not quite on target with that. There's a very interesting analysis that WHO has recently done looking on some of the key indicators from the global plan, and on some of them we're coming close to the targets, and others we're coming close in average, but if you break out the average, we're not quite doing as well as we'd like, and others we're not on target at all.
What are some of the indicators that we're doing well on?
Some of the indicators we're doing well on, I think, are around doing very well on some of the TB, at the gross estimate on some of the TB-HIV numbers. There's still a tremendous amount of work to be done. While case detection rates, which is the core of what you monitor for TB, are continuing to rise, and we've done very, very well over the last couple of years in finding cases and keeping them on treatment, where we're seeing some stagnation. That's a little bit of a worry. We're doing very, very well on treatment success and making sure that those patients who are brought into treatment stay on treatment, and that's such a core, important piece that needs to be done for TB, is making sure that patients are able to complete their treatment and are successfully cured of TB. Because if they fall off treatment, it's the potential start for multidrug resistance.
And then in terms of the success with HIV and TB, is that with getting them tested and getting their care coordinated?
We're seeing a lot of difference, and particularly in a number of countries, some great success stories with more and more TB patients being screened and tested for HIV, and increasingly to HIV patients screened for TB. And that's still where a lot more work needs to be done, but we are seeing a number of successes in countries like Kenya and Rwanda and others where that really is happening, and you're seeing the rates going in the right direction. Another area where we're seeing great success is in the research and the new tools, where we have a lot of new drugs in the pipeline, and much more so than several years ago, and things are coming down and entering the final phases of research, as well as in diagnostics as well, and in vaccine development.
And how far do you think any of those new breakthroughs would actually be off in either diagnostics or treatment or vaccine?
From what our colleagues in the diagnostics world tell us, in the next year even, we should see some new tools coming through for diagnostics, some improvements both in the way we do things as well as some new tools we can start implementing, which is very exciting. I mean, it's still not quite the holy grail of having a rapid diagnostic at the point of care, but we are going to have some tools that can improve our ability to diagnose and TB faster and more accurately. Drugs, hopefully in the next 2 years, I believe, is where we are. We might see some things coming out soon. So it's nearing. We're doing much better, I think, in that score.
Now, we talked about some of the success stories from the WHO measurements. What were some of the things that concerned you?
I think some of the where we are, and this has been a big issue overall, is on multidrug resistance. Where at the, you know, again, if you look at the global averages, because so much work has been done, particularly in South Africa and in Russia, we're seeing good work being done, some of the targets being reached on MDR case finding and patients being put on treatment. But those large increases are masking what's happening overall, so we're not seeing enough progress in all the other countries where we need to see it. And what's happened over the last year, because of the XDR, the extensive drug resistant information that's come out, there's been a revision of some of the the plans around what we need to do for multidrug-resistant TB and XDR TB. So we've actually upped the ante on what needs to be done and what needs to, and upped the targets on what needs to be done. But at the same time, we're not quite seeing that kind of progress that we need to see everywhere.
But in terms of the actual number of cases, the general TB is still what your focus is, correct? Because that represents the vast majority.
It is the core of what needs to do. We often talk about it as the backbone or the foundation or whatever terminology you want to use, but it is the core of what you need to do. Without that sort of basic TB program, or the DOTS program as the TB world calls it, or what it's now the Stop TB strategy, which is built on DOTS. Without that, you can't really do anything else. You can't address MDR-TB. You can't address TB-HIV effectively. And you also don't have a platform to introduce tools as they come out of the pipeline. So it is the core, the foundation of what needs to work. And it's also the number one strategy for preventing the spread of multidrug resistance and extensively drug-resistant TB. If you have a poorly performing TB program, that's the basis for getting MDR-TB. So we need to make sure that basic TB programs are functioning and functioning well.
One of the other elements that was in the plan was increasing awareness and this general notion that tuberculosis really isn't a problem anymore. Do you feel like awareness has increased within the past year and a half?
I do, and I think that's also been a success in part of the global plan, because I think there was a lot of press, a lot of attention to the global plan. So I think we were able to get the notion of TB out there, and some of the messages around TB is still a problem, yet it can be, there are things we can do about TB as it's gotten out into the general mainstream. What's also changed since the global plan was launched in early 2006 was information about extensively drug-resistant TB, and that certainly has hit the worldwide media all over the, in everywhere. And that has actually brought people's attention to the issues of TB and let the general public know that TB still is a problem everywhere.
And do you feel like perhaps that has put TB more on wealthier countries' radar screens, the fact that it might actually hit home?
I think so. It certainly has in the U.S., absolutely.
And in terms of funding, what the global plan had asked for was $56 billion over 10 years. And a recent report from a New York-based advocacy group came out last week that said research money, at least for TB, has remained flat at about $413 million. Mm-hmm. So where are we in terms of the money for fighting TB?
I don't know the details of exactly where we are in terms of our plan off the top of my head, but we're not quite making where we want to go. And I think the TAG report really shows that we do need much more increased investments in research from all parties, as well as, you know, the $56 billion is made up of a number of different sources. It is the money for research from both the public sector and the private sector, and the foundations, particularly the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, have put huge amounts of money into research, fortunately. But it's also the donor countries putting money into TB programs, the Global Fund, as well as countries themselves, and also the private sector of the country. And so what we're seeing is we're not quite making our targets from all of those, but there is some increase, but not enough to really meet the objectives of the plan. And that's where we really need to focus on efforts, is making sure that those resource mobilization targets are met.
One of the other issues, too, is political will.
Yes.
And we heard a story yesterday, I know you were at the symposium, the Stop TB Partnership Symposium, about TB drugs that had sat in customs in a particular African country for 6 months. So do you feel like political will is still something that really needs to be worked on, whether it's from an endemic country or a country that doesn't have endemic TB?
Absolutely. Political will is something you always need to work on. Even when you've made progress on getting good commitment, you need to maintain that commitment and maintain that pressure on political will. And it makes or breaks a program. It makes or breaks what you can do. I mean, the example of drugs sitting in country is a perfect example. And it's unfortunately not that unusual that things do get stuck. And it's making sure that you've got attention at the country level, at the district level, and also internationally from donors and the international community, that this is an important issue. That kind of pressure needs to continue to make sure things happen and make sure that programs move and that drugs move and do get distributed as soon as they possibly can.
Now, in terms of your role with the Stop TB Partnership Coordinating Board, you all have been doing quite a bit of work on health system strengthening, which is core to this as well, because people have to go to their health systems to get treatment, not just one time, but for 6 months. So how has that been going, and what are some of the challenges that you're facing, and what are some of the successes that you've had?
The issue around health systems has been, I think, on the agenda of the TB community for a number of years. I mean, basically, it is, TB control program is all about health systems and making sure you've got functioning health systems, whether it be the reporting, the patient care, the medical community, et cetera, the drug supplies. Those are all about a functioning health system. In the last year or so, there's been a lot of attention internationally on looking at some of the broad cross-cutting health systems issues of workforce, and the workforce issues are huge. No matter what issue you're dealing with in health, the workforce issues are out there. But monitoring and measurement and a number of, in finances, there's a number of cross-cutting issues and a lot of interest of looking at these cross-cutting issues. So one of the issues that certainly we've been talking about on the board and with the partnership in general is how best does TB and the TB community and the Stop TB partnership as a disease-specific focused program best engage with some of these cross-cutting issues. And I think there's a lot of room where we can come together and really make the most of the investments that come from TB as well as the cross-cutting health systems. There's a lot that can be done, and I think a lot we can learn from each other, and that's what I think one of the action items from the board is figuring out how best to make that happen.
And that could also be said for other diseases.
Absolutely.
As well, correct?
Absolutely, and I think there's a lot of learning we can do with our colleagues in malaria and HIV/AIDS and child survival and the other areas as well.
And last question for you, as you're a representative of a donor country, can you just explain how some of these issues are talked about and how some of the decisions are made for funding? Because there's obviously a lot of good causes and a lot of health problems. How are the decisions made to allocate money to the specific diseases and issues?
Well, I think it's always difficult because, you know, you look across the board, the pie is never big enough for everything that really needs to be done, which is one of the reasons we all need to come together, and the global plan is all about everybody's resources. But speaking from the U.S. government, I mean, we've been fortunate that we've had strong support for health, both from the U.S. Congress as well as the administration, the current administration, for international health issues. When we typically get our money, it's very clear about how we can use it, whether it be for TB, how much money for TB or malaria or family planning, etc. But then within that, we have a lot of latitude to figure out how we do things and making sure that the money we're given and that we're responsible for programming really is going to achieve the goals and the objectives for that particular area. And so we've been fortunate to work very closely with both the international communities, but particularly with counterparts at the country level to make sure that the resources that the U.S. government is one of the donors can bring to the table really does support what national programs need to do and fill the gaps at the country level.
Irene Cook, Chief of USAID's Infectious Disease Division for the Global Health Bureau and Chair of the Stop TB Partnerships Coordinating Board, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.